Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're getting into a conversation around, the world of consumer electronics. This is something that we have been having a number of conversations with in the last couple of months, and we do so on an ongoing basis because, you know, the devices that we are carrying around, that we're interacting with on a daily basis, have become such a big part of our lives. So for today, we are going to be chatting with one of the OEMs or manufacturers, that is Sony, huge company, out of Asia. Now, many of us know, if you're in the world of gaming, you know, people would know things like your PlayStations, but if you are in the world of film, they also do so in the world of film, they also do so in the world of music as well. So it's a huge business. But for today, we're going to be chatting with newly appointed MD for Sony Middle East and Africa. That is Jobin Jojo. Jobin, greetings to you today.
Morning to you too.
So, Jobin is joining us from Dubai. You know, that's, where he's based and looking after, this particular region. So, because Sony is one of those names that, so many people know and understand or have interacted with in one way or another, huge brand cachet when you think about things like, the Walkman from back in the day. I mentioned PlayStation, you've got Bravia TVs, all of this stuff. When we are talking about, what you are looking after as Sony Middle East and Africa, what's actually under your purview? We've just mentioned so many things that are part of the Sony universe, but specifically for you, what are you looking after?
So we, as Sony Middle East and Africa, headquartered out of Dubai, primarily take care of the electronics business of Sony. So everything when it comes to consumer electronics, right from your televisions, which is the Bravia TVs, to digital cameras, to home audio products, to your mobile audio products like your headphones. These are the kind of categories that comes under our purview. Other than this, we also take care of certain professional products, which are like basically the broadcast cameras, cinema line cameras, medical equipment. So this is, I would say, more or less the product portfolio that we handle out of Sony Middle East and Africa.
Out of interest, right, because of what you're looking after in that portfolio, do you find that is the same types of products that are selling well in each of the markets that you're looking after, or is there maybe a regional bias to say maybe in the Middle East it's the broadcast cameras that will be doing well, whereas in a place like Africa it might be the TVs? How are you seeing the product mix from that point of view?
I believe the dynamics of the product portfolio varies from market to market. Within categories itself, there would be segments which are doing well in certain markets. At the same time, there would be other markets where it would be a completely different category that does well. I would look at it from this point of view. The television is something that you can see across the entire region. I believe every customer in every part of the world requires a television at home. But when it comes to, let's say, more professional products, let's say in terms of cinema line cameras or professional cameras, broadcast cameras, the demand would vary from market to market. In our region, you would have markets like, let's say, South Africa, let's say Nigeria, UAE, Saudi, Egypt, which are quite concentrated in terms of, let's say, cinema production or movie production. So there we would have these kind of professional cameras being sold. But there would be other markets which are not catering to this line of business. So there it would be more of consumer products that is being sold.
And what type of what view has Sony taken in terms of its interaction with customers? And I ask that because different manufacturers have different strategies. I'm just thinking about it from a South Africa point of view. Maybe I've missed it, but I'm yet to come across a Sony store. You know, that at least in Joburg, and you know, the places that I've been to, I haven't seen a Sony store, but I will see the brand being carried by a number of different you know, retailers. So from that point of view, what's been the strategy, and is that the same strategy across the region, or once again, is it one of those things that varies market to market?
I believe, again, the route to market is quite different, you know, depending on the market. But just to highlight, you know, Sony's purpose itself is to fill the world with emotions through the power of creativity and technology. To achieve this purpose, we have made tremendous efforts to provide the value of 3 R's, which is reality, real-time, and remote. Through this, we continue to get closer to our customers who are both creators and end users. Now, when it comes to a particular market, you know, we define our strategy in terms of, firstly, the market dynamics. So as I highlighted, it would not be the same across all markets. So in case, specifically in the case of South Africa, we use a kind of a multi-nodal approach in terms of our presence into the market. So we have, you know, direct relationship with big retailers in South Africa for certain categories of products. Let's say like our home audio products, we work with all the big retailers directly from Dubai. At the same time, for other categories, let's say like our mobile audio products like headphones, we you know, or our cameras, we operate through a distribution model. So it is a kind of a mix and match. We look at what are the dynamics of the market, what are the requirements of the market, and then, you know, we accordingly decide what should be the right route to market.
And when it comes to that, what do you see working? You know, because right now your route to market is obviously different depending on who you are, but at the same time, we've also seen the rise of things like your e-commerce channels, that type of thing. Do you guys have a direct channel, you know, from an e-commerce point of view?
So when it comes to, you know, in terms of reaching our customers, you know, which is one of our priorities, the best approach we would always have in a particular market would be to our direct to customer channels. When I mean direct to customer channels, either through our e-commerce platforms or our Sony branded showrooms. So this is something that, you know, we have started adopting. So in the last 1 year, we have opened our e-commerce channels in quite a few countries in the region, starting with UAE, where we are based in, then followed by Saudi Arabia. Now we have opened in Qatar and in Bahrain. So South Africa is something that is currently on our plan. We are in the development stage of our e-commerce platform in South Africa. So that is something that customers in South Africa could see sometime soon, you know, towards, let's say, the next 1 quarter.
And is that something that you're using to push all products, or are there, you know, specific ones? Because like you said, you have different segments that you're playing in, the consumer segment, your professional, you know, type of equipment.
Sure. So when we look at our direct to customer channels, which is primarily either the e-commerce platform or our showroom, it is more kind of skewed towards consumer products. You know, so we generally target the, you know, the general consumer for consumer products from these channels. So professional products require a completely, they have a different, completely different route to market kind of an approach, where we have to directly go and talk to media houses or rental houses or, you know, DOPs. So that's a very different approach. It's a much more complicated kind of a product. So the e-commerce platform or our direct to consumer channels are primarily for our, you know, consumer electronic products.
Okay, cool. I want to get into some specific segments for a moment. TVs. What is the biggest TV that you guys have? To my knowledge, it would be a 98-inch.
That's right. Today, the biggest TV that we have is a 98-inch. When it comes to consumer TVs, you know, then we have got something called like the C-LED, which are basically display walls, where if a consumer would like to have something like that installed at his house, he has the flexibility of deciding what size he requires. You know, if he wants a 98-inch or he wants a 200-inch, he can go depending on kind of affordability and his needs. You can go to any kind of a screen size. But these are primarily commercial displays. But, you know, in the region, we do have that niche, few customers who have, you know, the money and who have the requirement, who go in for these very large screen displays. But if I talk about regular consumer TVs, as you pointed out, right, the 98 inch is the largest screen size that's available.
Right. And what are some of the trends that you guys are seeing in the TV market? I ask that because when I look at pricing for Sony TVs specifically, they tend to carry a premium. You know, you guys have also, if I remember correctly, you guys have gone in quite strongly when it comes to OLED. Your OLEDs also carry a premium, you know, when compared to, some of the competing products in the market. So just trends in terms of, I guess, reception, how are people, because the fact that you guys carry a premium, but the fact that you still, you're still able to continue to do business all these years later means someone is buying, that there's demand for the product.
Most of our loyal customers would be aware that, you know, Sony stands for quality. So this is something that the brand has was never willing to compromise. And that is something that our customers kind of, trust us with. So when we talk about the premium, there is a lot that goes into the TV to ensure that, you know, the customer is satisfied and he gets the value for what he is paying. So if you look at our TV lineup itself, you know, we have TVs engineered to cater to the demands of, you know, different types of customers or the needs of different types of customers. There could be customers who are using a TV for purely cinema experience. There could be customers who are using a TV for gaming. You know, so the application is very different. But we have a product that's tailored that meets the requirement of every type of customer.
Would I be wrong, you know, to say that the average, we just spoke about 98 inches, you know, but that's on the top end, of consumer TV sets. But would I be wrong to say that the average size of the TV in consumer homes has risen? From what I personally can see, 75, 75, 75, and I guess 80, 82 seems to be where a lot of people are playing. But you guys are, you know, an actual manufacturer, so you can probably tell me, whether or not I'm seeing the right things, or, you know, what is the data telling you guys?
Your understanding is absolutely right. So it's like customers have, you know, kept upgrading in terms of the sizes of TV. One of, I think, the biggest reasons for this would be the average selling price of the product coming down itself. So the affordability for the customer has gone up. But if you ask me in terms of, you know, what would be the best selling size, it would be purely, again, dependent on the market. So something, if I look at a market like South Africa, you know, today I think the best sellers would be the 65 and the 55 inch TVs. If you look at markets like UAE, which are more developed, or in terms of the buying power of customers in the region. So I would say that it would probably go more towards a 75 and an 85 inch TV. At the same time, we would have other markets, because our region is so diversified. We take care of countries right from, you know, Pakistan on one side to, let's say, Morocco at the other end, South Africa at the bottom, all the way, you know, to the Central Asia countries. So a lot of countries, I would say that still probably a 43 and a 50 inch are the dominant sizes. But naturally, as a trigger, as the average selling price comes down, you would always see a shift of the customer purchase behavior into larger screen sizes.
Jobin, one of the nice things about talking to someone like you is that you have a view of, multiple different countries, because in South Africa, we tend to, like any other country, you take a very myopic view of what's going on and you think, well, things are so bad or things are so good, but when you then understand where South Africa sits within a broader context, you get to see some of the bigger trends, because from what you've just indicated now, it means that the consumer in South Africa is, at least from a buying power point of view, better placed with the size of TV that they're buying at a 55 or a 65. They're better placed than, let's say, Sony consumers in other regions that you're looking after, where, you know, you're looking at some of the smaller sizes.
That's true. Not only just in terms of size, I would also say that when it comes to, you know, customers in South Africa, they are probably ahead of the curve in terms of adaptation of, you know, new ideas and technology. We generally look at South Africa as a benchmark for establishing our strategy to cater to the markets, I would say, within the Southern African as well as the Central African region itself. Most of our strategies are defined based on our understanding of our customers in South Africa. So they are far ahead of the curve when it comes especially to the African continent.
What's the equivalent in the Middle East? What's your key benchmark market?
Middle East, I would say the benchmark market would be the UAE, because we have different kind of ethnicities, culture, and it's like a cosmopolitan which caters to different types of customers. So it gives us a lot of benefit. Like sitting in Dubai, we can understand, let's say, the buying behavior or the shopping culture of customers from a lot of parts of the world. So as kind of a test market, UAE would be a representative market similar to South Africa in Africa.
Okay. Now, one of the things that is quite similar, at least in the moment that we're in the economy, is that, I need to find the best way to say this. This is one of those few times in the global economy where similar circumstances are being felt across the world. Everyone is struggling with high interest rates. Everyone is struggling with inflation and just a general economic downturn. That's across the world. Usually you have these downturns, in parts of the world, certain regions. But at the moment, everyone is feeling, the pressure. For a consumer-facing brand, how's been the impact of the downturn, and have you adopted any strategies, whether it's on pricing, whether it's on payments or anything like that, to keep, your sales volumes at a healthy level?
So very frankly, the last few years has been challenging. I believe, it's across the board. I mean, I believe every consumer as well as every brand has felt, the difficulties faced in the last 3 or 4 years, especially the time that COVID hit. Fortunately for us, we were a little different from the regular tide that is there in the market, primarily because of the product portfolio that we have. So if you look at if I go back to 2020 when COVID had hit and we had, lockdowns and people were sitting at home, that was where there was a surge in requirement for entertainment at home. So there was a lot of demand that got advanced in terms of, let's say, televisions, in terms of, gaming consoles like the PlayStation or home audio products, because everybody, we had that sit at home demand where we had a surge in demand. So that somehow was against the tide. And, when let's say, businesses in a lot of sectors were actually struggling, it was kind of a boom period for us. Moving down into 2022, I would say, is when a shift happened where the travel demand came back and you had customers who, were sitting at home for a long period of time, and they, it kind of reached a stage where it was more of revenge travel. Everybody just wanted to travel. Nobody wanted to sit at home. There we saw a kind of decline in terms of our, let's say, home entertainment products like the TV or audio products. But that kind of reversed the cycle for other products for us, like, let's say, personal audio products like the headphones, like our digital cameras. Because when once people started traveling, there were other categories of products which were important for them. So one of our best products is our award-winning 1000X noise cancelling headphones, which is something that every second or third person is today using on flights. So for us, it was a mixed bag. There was a period of time where certain categories were doing well, and then now it's a different phase where we have other categories. So because we have such a mixed portfolio, unlike brands which are playing in certain categories only, we had set up of kind of balancing out the overall portfolio.
So when we see some of those trends, then I am then curious to understand, because consumers are where they are, you guys, have felt some of the pressure, but like you said, there's certain products that have remained resilient, for you guys. On the gaming side with PlayStation, is that something that you know, is part of your, you know, purview, or does PlayStation enter markets like South Africa perhaps through different channels or through a different part of Sony?
So PlayStation is an independent company. You know, how we have Sony Middle East and Africa based out of Dubai, we have Sony PlayStation also based out of Dubai. So there are many parallel companies that we operate into, but we finally consolidate and report into the Sony Group headquarters. So in Dubai itself, we have, you know, multiple companies other than, you know, so PlayStation and the Middle East and Africa. We also have Sony Pictures, Sony Music. There are a lot of, you know, sister companies that operates out of Dubai. So PlayStation is something that is, that operates completely independent of us. And, you know, they have a lot of countries. You would have probably a kind of crossover in terms of our route to market kind of a strategy. But in a lot of countries, we also, you know, we operate independently of each other.
Okay.
So South Africa is one such country where PlayStation operates, you know, independent of our business.
Okay. Yeah, no, the reason why I asked for that point of clarity is simply because, like what you said, the cross-selling part, I could imagine, you know, a situation where perhaps the sale of one product could, you know, on the gaming side could help to push, you know, sales on, let's say, the TV side, and maybe even on the headphone, what do you call this, on the headphones side of things. So it was just to clarify how you guys think about, you know, that type of thing.
I mean, in terms of operations, as I said, you know, we operate independently, but end of the day, we have a one Sony approach. So when it comes to, let's say, campaigns or fulfilling needs of what customers want, you know, there are a lot of, you will find a lot of times that we work together in terms of, you know, offerings to the customer.
Okay.
So yeah, we do have this kind of cross promotional activities, events, you know, where we come together to kind of meet the needs of the customer.
Okay. I want to switch over. I think in the last portion to maybe, you've mentioned it a couple of times, which is personal audio products, which is the headphones. For a long time, I'm just still yet to arrive at that point, budget-wise, personally. But I've always wanted, when the XM4s were the currents, I really wanted those. Right now you guys have XM5, which is especially on a, from a design point of view, it's been a departure, because the XM3s and the XM4s, you know, look, you know, quite similar, but, you know, on the fives you guys went in a different direction, design wise very well reputed, you know, set of headphones from XM3. I don't know, I'm not too sure about the first and second generation, but when I started following them, it was the XM3s, the 4s, and now the 5s, and they seem to have done well, you know, once again in the market. So could you just talk to us about, you know, what are we seeing, you know, in that? And I'd be curious, you know, if these, I can see that this is a product that would move in a place like the UAE or Saudi, because of the greater buying power. But I'm also curious about places like South Africa. How is the headphones business?
When we talk specifically about the South Africa market, two product categories which are doing really well for us, one is our audio and one is our, you know, digital imaging category, basically the camera business, consumer camera business. So if I look at just this particular segment that you're highlighting, which is the premium noise cancelling headphone segment, I would say we are looking at a growth of maybe 45% year on year. You know, so even a market like South Africa, we have a strong customer base for, you know, this kind of products. The good part about Sony, when it comes to especially the headphones, we are, I think, the only brand which has got a range for every customer. You know, we have something to offer a customer at $5 at the same time, we have something to offer a customer at $300. So we are probably the only brand which has, you know, bandwidth. You would have competitors who are playing only in the, let's say, entry segment. You have competitors who are playing only in the mid segment. You have competitors who are playing only in the premium segment. But Sony, I believe, is one brand which
kind of has a product portfolio within headphones that caters to the entire segment of customers. So we have a headphone for every type of customer or every requirement that the customer has.
Okay. And on the top end of that market, of course, is the premium noise cancelling. Obviously, that's where a lot of interest lies, you know, for Sony. And I do see that there is that trickle down effect where, because of what's going on with your XM4, your XM5, that helps to drive, you know, sales, you know, throughout the rest of the stack that you guys have. This is a point, I don't know whether you have this data point, but I'm just going to ask the question anyway. Where are people buying an XM5? Is it at the airport? Is it in retail stores? And I ask that because I've been to airports in a number of places. I was at Doha Airport recently, and I saw them quite prominently in a number of different stores. I was also at DBX, the Dubai Airport. They obviously OR Tambo. You know, they're carried in a number of different stores, but obviously we also see them in retail, you know, in normal retail chains, and we've also got the e-commerce layer that we spoke about earlier on. So curious to understand, where are people making that buying decision, you know, for something like that?
I would say it is more related to the convenience of the customer. So a product like an XM4 or an XM5 practically sells from everywhere. So we have good sales that comes out of, you know, duty freeze at the airport. At the same time, we have very good sales coming on from e-commerce platforms like your Amazon or your Takealot. We have good sales coming out from, regular offline retail stores as well. So it's more of a consumer, one, in terms of his convenience or where his comfort lies in terms of a channel, or second, probably the kind of offer that that the channel has prepared for the customer. So it just sells everywhere.
All right. I think where we can end off today's discussion then, Jobin, is I guess on the camera side. Once again, we're seeing a similar trend. You guys have been in a particular market. There's been a filtering down of technologies that are coming out from your professional lines of cameras, such as it should be the FX line. And we've seen that, you know, trickle down into the Sony Alpha line, you know, the A7, A7S, all of those different cameras that you guys have. But those in a market that has Nikon, Canon, you know, Fuji, all of these, Sony once again is carrying a premium, but they seem to have done well in the market for cameras, particularly for video cameras on the mirrorless side. What are some of the trends that we're seeing there?
So if you look at the camera market as a whole, you know, particularly in the case of South Africa, it is still a very, you know, it's a growing segment. A lot of customers now with, you know, the new kinds of vlogging and, you know, your TikToks and, you know, your YouTubes, and everybody wants to become a vlogger kind of a trend that is coming. There is a substantial growth that is being seen in the, you know, the camera market. Now, Sony has, you know, always been a technological leader when it comes to, you know, cameras. We were probably the trendsetters that decided to away from the old DSLR kind of body cameras, the old bulky kind of DSLR cameras, and established the mirrorless, you know, cameras as a segment. We had Canon and Nikon following us probably 5 years after we started off. So we have got a kind of, I would say, a first mover's advantage, where today the base that we suggest, if I just talk about lenses that we have for mirrorless cameras, we are talking of a portfolio of more than probably 75 lenses. I mean, just for our mirrorless cameras. I don't believe, you know, if all competitors put together probably can meet that kind of a lineup when it comes to mirrorless camera lenses. So I think we have, you know, gone technologically, we are probably far ahead. If you look at the latest launch that we had in our mirrorless camera segment, which is the Alpha 9 Mark III, I would say it is the world's first full frame, image sensor camera, which has got a global shutter system. You know, a global shutter system is something that makes it capable of capturing movements in real time. So, you know, it's a shutter that's open all the time. So this is there in more high-end cameras. When you talk about, like, for example, cinema cameras, you do have cameras with global shutter, but in terms of a consumer camera, probably this is the first, you know, it's the world's first for a consumer camera. So technologically, I think we have that superiority. Customers understand that. And, you know, our alpha range of cameras are primarily catering to, let's say, not only photographers, but in a big way to videographers as well. So that is, you know, the customer understands, why there is a premium on the Sony camera. So I would say in most of our markets today, we would be market leaders when it comes to full frame, high-end full-frame image sensor cameras.
And is there any overlap? Because you did make it a point to say that the route to market for, let's say, what's going on with the studios and that type of thing is completely different, to the consumer channels. But specifically for cameras, because there is that overlap, and we do see a trickle down of technologies from an FX coming down to, the alpha range. Does what's going on in the cinema world influence the buying decision on the consumer side in any way, that people will see, let's say, a global shutter and say that's an amazing feature on the professional, side, and, they see it coming in on an A9 and then they say, this is what we want to get?
I would say for sure it is an influence. Primarily what happens is not only when we talk about cinema cameras, one big benefit that Sony has is our system itself. We operate on a similar platform when it comes to our high-end cameras as well as our alpha cameras, so our cinema cameras. So when it comes to, let's say, DOPs or when it comes to professionals, they find that convenience of being able to operate on a similar system. Now, what happens otherwise is, like, today as a photographer, if you're using, let's say, a Canon camera, but when you're into producing, like, movies, you have to use an Arri, the system itself becomes different, or it becomes like a Red and a Nikon, the combination becomes very different. So in our case, because we have that synergy starting right from our Venice 2 cameras, which is the top of the line, let's say a cinema camera, right up to, let's say, our Alpha 7 Mark IV kind of a camera. So the system itself helps in a big way. And then, people are kind of used to, in terms of features, as you just pointed out, they have got used to a global shutter. When they find it on an Alpha camera, it becomes very convenient. So there is always a trickle-down effect that helps in terms of maintaining the overall ecosystem of, our digital imaging portfolio.
All right. So that's where we end off, for this great discussion just around what's going on with Sony and their consumer electronics business in the Middle East and Africa. Really great, to understand some of the different dynamics that are at play, between a country like South Africa and, the rest of the region. One of the things that Jobin was talking to us about is the fact that when you split, that MIA title into two, you've got Middle East on one side, Africa on the other side. On the Africa side, South Africa is seen as sort of like a benchmark, type of market, because you have consumers, with a little bit more buying power than the rest of the region. They are adapting and adopting some of the newer technologies at a faster rate than, in other parts of the world. Also talking about the health of consumers, what is the purchasing power of consumers in South Africa? And, quite strong, at least some of the indication coming through on the TV side, if we look at the size of TV and also the feature set that is being demanded by consumers. And it was also interesting to understand I guess, the different segments that make up. We began by talking about how big a company like Sony is. And today's discussion, you know, was literally us talking mainly about what's going on in the in TVs, in personal audio, as well as, you know, in the camera market. And there's so much more, you know, to that world. Also talking about you know, some of the dynamics that are at play when it comes to personal audio. I think anyone listening, you know, will understand that I like audio. I mean, we are on a podcast, so I do look at a lot of this stuff. And and one of the things that Jobin mentioned is that the buying decision is more a matter of convenience, you know, as opposed to something contextual like someone about to get onto a flight. All of those things are, you know, they do feed into it. But he did say that as long as you are able to meet the consumer where they are, they're seeing good sales coming through on the e-commerce side, you know, at retailers, you know, it can be at an airport. And then ending off the discussion talking about what they're doing, you know, with their camera line, particularly on the consumer side with their Alpha range, and how some of the influences from the, you know, professional, you know, part of their business, you know, filters down into, you know, specifically this. So it has been a good one, and, you know, looking forward to continuing to engage with Jobin and the team just around some of the developments that are going on. I do think that consumer electronics are a good indicator of you know, where people are on an economic level, because we often think that in hard times that people are going to let go of such buying decisions or such purchasing decisions. But if you see a brand like Sony continuing to do well even in a downturn like the one that we have right now, and you know, with the premium price points that they do command, then it does show you, you know, some of the dynamics that are at play in the market. So that's been it. We were in you know, conversation with Jobin Jojo, who is the managing director for Sony Middle East and Africa. Jobin, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.